Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you guys are having a good day. I want to let you know that that bright thing in the sun, out in the sky, is the sun. I don't know, we haven't seen a lot of it over the last month, and I understand that in Rhode Island, this is the second wettest in a while. So that's a lot of rain. So this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles to Psalm 23, it's going to be a jumping off point. And as I've said before, as I've been with you guys, my goal in preaching God's Word to you is to make it as relevant as possible. Because if the Word of God is not able to address where we are, then really, it's not really servicing us. And so this morning, I want to talk about something that we all struggle with. And as I get older, I struggle with it more. But that doesn't mean that I need to succumb to it. And so what I want to preach about this morning is this idea of worry. As we get older, we are, like I said, we're more susceptible to it. I come from a long line of worriers. My mom, bless her soul, she would worry about everything. And if she didn't have anything to worry about, she'd worry about if she was forgetting to worry about something. And I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. There's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of issues that we can be worried about. And so I really want to address that this morning as we look at God's Word and see what it has to say about worry. So let's look in Psalm chapter 23. We're going to look at one verse. It's going to be our jumping off point this morning. So Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you can substitute the word want with worry. I shall not worry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We're grateful, Lord, for the nice sunshine. We're grateful, Lord, for the rain as well. It makes everything green. And this morning, I pray, God, wherever we are emotionally, wherever we are spiritually, I pray that we would be here. We'd be present. When we open up your word and we look at it and we examine it, Lord, we know that it's powerful. We know that it's your holy word. It has the ability to pierce our heart, pierce our soul. We're asking, God, this morning that wherever we are, whatever we're struggling with, Lord, that we would offer it up to you and recognize that you have the ability, you have the power to overcome those things. And so, Father, I'm sure there's some folks here today that are really struggling. They had a rough night last night. Maybe they're anticipating a rough week starting tomorrow. But, Father, we know that you love us. We know that you're with us. We know you're present. And so I pray that you'd help us to depend on you, to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And so I ask, God, as we journey through this message this morning, that we would be challenged, that we would desire to have a closer walk with you and to be more dependent on you and utilizing your Holy Spirit power to overcome the things that we're facing. Thank you so much for what you're about to do, God. And I pray that you'd bless it and help us, Lord, to respond in a way that would honor and glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I mentioned, the word want really means lack or something deficient in our lives. God has promised that we would lack nothing, and that's his promise. But sometimes in our life, especially in the wants area or the things that we desire, some of those things don't get answered. We know our needs are going to be met, but what about the wants? And so we worry. So I'm going to make the case this morning that worry is something that doesn't change anything. It only consumes your emotional energy and gets you in your focus off of the Lord and on your problems. So that's going to be my challenge this morning to help all of us, including me, to not worry, but to pray. We're going to take worry out and we're going to replace it with prayer. So sometimes we think that worry is not a problem. Or we don't recognize it as a problem. We say, I'm just concerned. We put the positive slant on it. And then sometimes we'll blame our personality. Well, I can't help it because my mom was a worrier or my dad was a worrier. I come by it naturally. So we can excuse some of this stuff, but I'm going to make the case this morning that it's something that should not be a part of the Christian's life. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning, what is worry? What constitutes worry? So here's the definition of worry. Worry is a troubled state of mind that includes anxiety, distress, and unease. The Greek word for the word worry means to engage in a care. You're worn down, you're anxious, you're fearful. It robs you of your joy. So what's the difference between worry and concern? Worry focuses on uncontrollable conditions that cannot be acted on. So keep that definition in your mind. Worry focuses on uncontrollable conditions that cannot be acted on. In other words, they're out of your control. We're worried about them, but there's nothing we can do to change it in ourselves. Concern focuses on predictable or probable difficulties and results in action. So concerns, we can do something about it. Worry, we cannot. So let's make sure we make that distinction as we are going through this lesson this morning. So worry only asks the what if questions that have a negative response and have no action that can make a difference. So I'm hoping that you're gathering now that worry doesn't change anything. You're up at 2 o'clock in the morning because of worry. Or you can't sleep at all because of worry. And a lot of times that worry, you can't do anything to change the results. You can't make it different in that situation. So consequently, worry is a sin. And I'm going to say this morning, by the end of the lesson, you'll understand the reason why worry is a sin is because we're not focusing on God and what He can do, but the things that we're worried about, we can't do anything about, and so we're frustrated. So worry is a sin. Let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage. But I think it's important for us to get from the Lord what He's talking about, when the things that we should not worry about, the things that we waste our time worrying about. Romans chapter 6, verse 25. Sorry, Matthew. Sorry about that. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Now that I'm 62, I got to have these glasses. So, because before it would look, can that guy even read? Because I couldn't see the words, but now I can. So we're in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Notice one thing right off the bat. Everyone, if you have a red letter Bible, every one of the words are in red, signifying what? Jesus said these words. So they have authority. Verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. There it is, right off the bat. Don't worry. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying, listen to this, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? Just because I want to be taller doesn't mean I can make myself taller. Why worry about it? I'm only 5'10", and that's all I'm going to ever be. In fact, it gets worse than that. I used to be 5'10 and a half, now I'm 5'10". And I think before it's all said and done, before the song is done, I'll probably be 5'9 and a half or something like that. It just gets worse and worse. Okay, so let's go back to it. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we see here in this short passage that worry is mentioned 5 times. That's the key. That's the theme of that particular passage. And Jesus is specifically telling us, do not worry. Now, just because we're commanded to not worry doesn't mean that we aren't going to worry. We're going to worry, but what do we do with it when we do? So notice, I'll read this to you. Luke chapter 12, verse 29 says this, and do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor have any anxious mind. So the temptation for us as Christians is to either trust God or to be anxious. We can't do both at the same time. You're either going to trust God, focus on His goodness, His power, His abilities, or we're going to focus on what we cannot change and be worried about that. So there's four reasons not to worry. If you want to write these down, I think they will be a blessing to you. Four reasons not to worry. And we saw these in this passage that we just read. Number one, worry is unhelpful. These are four reasons not to worry. Worry is unhelpful. Worry does nothing. It changes nothing. It never accomplishes anything or solves any problems. Worry, I like this. Worry is stewing without doing. Worry cannot change the past or control the future. It only messes up the present. Now, does that mean we don't have concerns? Of course we have concerns. I have a meeting tomorrow at work that I'm concerned about. I'm not worried about it because I know God's going to work through it. But I have concerns about it. And tomorrow morning when I meet with this individual, I have a plan. I've prayed about it. I know God's going to work it out. So I'm not worried about it. But I do have concerns about it. But there's something I can do about it. Worrying doesn't change anything. The second reason not to worry. Worry is unreasonable. So worry is unhelpful. Worry is unreasonable. One of the sad effects of worrying is that it exaggerates your problems. It makes it worse. How many times have you woken up in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, it's dark, and you're just stricken with anxiety about something, some worrying situation? The more you worry about it, the worse it gets. You start thinking about, what if this, or what if that, or what about this? And we get so worked up that there's no hope of being able to go back to sleep again for that night. It exaggerates our problems. It makes mountains out of molehills. When you are worrying about something, every time you think about this issue, it gets bigger and bigger. It grows. Worry is unreasonable. It never changes anything. It makes worry a waste of time and energy. Number three, worry is unhealthy. Worry is unhealthy. Dr. Dorothy McCoy, in an article entitled Possible Consequences of Worry and Stress, says that it impacts our health. Keyed up with nothing to fight or flee and no way to turn off the stress chemicals, they flow and they cause problems. Ulcers, migraines, headaches, all kinds of stuff, high blood pressure, it goes on and on. And so we've got our body all worked up about something we can't change, and it impacts, those chemicals impact our body, impact our perspective. My wife a few years back said that, you're not as positive as you used to be. And I wanted to say, well, yeah, you haven't lived the life that I've lived. You know, I've got stresses, I've got problems, I've got issues at work and everywhere. And I noticed as I thought about it, I'm like, you're right. I am more cynical today than I was 40 years ago. It's an accumulative effect. And maybe you can see the same thing in your own lives. I mean, I work in a school there in New Hampshire, and I like to spend time with the little kids because they don't have a care in the world. They've got a swing, they've got a slide, they're good to go. We got all this snow in New Hampshire this year, and so we put it in one place, and it's a huge thing. It was like 10 feet tall. It's like a big mountain, and the kids were good to go. They didn't care if they were cold. They were sliding down the place. I'm like, oh, to be like that again. But that's wishful thinking because we're not there. Someone has to be responsible. Someone has to make the decision. Someone has to take the heat, and so that's us. That's our job description. So it's unhealthy. It impacts in ways that we're not even completely aware of it, and we really don't see a lot of that stuff until we get older. I was talking to someone before the service, and when I hit 60, I'm telling you, stuff started breaking down. I was pretty good to go before that, and now stuff doesn't work that I didn't even know I had, you know? And so it's a cumulative effect, the wear and tear on the body and the mind, and it's just tough. The bottom line is this, our body was not made to worry. So that is an unnatural thing, and Satan wants us to worry. It's his will that we worry, because if we're worrying, we're not trusting. If we're worrying, we're wasting valuable energy and mental awareness to something we can't even change because of worry. Then the fourth thing is worry is unfaithful, and this is the worst of the four. Worry is unfaithful. Matthew 6:30 says this, that people who worry have little faith. And that's from the words of Jesus. So when we choose not to have faith, we choose to worry, we're saying to God, I don't think I can trust you. I don't believe that you're going to help me in this situation. So I'm going to worry and fret about it over something I cannot change, only God can change. So it is proving that our faith is small. So number one, what worry is. Number two, what our shepherd does to eliminate worry. Our shepherd provides for us. We saw in Psalm 23, our shepherd promises to provide food, water, and rest. Many verses in both the Old Testament and the New Testament promise God's provision. We see it over and over again. God says, I've got this. I'm going to take care of you. Listen to Isaiah 40, verses 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Listen to verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. That's our God. So whatever problem you're worried about this morning, maybe something that's coming up this week, or maybe something happened last week, or when you were a kid, do not allow yourself to be consumed with worry, because God is powerful. Now, you guys know, some of you know my background. I come from a very dysfunctional family of origin. And they tell me that we get our perspective of God, our Heavenly Father, from our earthly father. Well, my earthly father, before he became a Christian, was not dependable. And worse, he was a threat. So it's hard for me to trust my Heavenly Father when I have burned into my head the vision and the lack of helpfulness from my earthly father. Now, praise the Lord, he got saved and changed. But during those formative years, from 5 to about 12, when I'm formulating my life, my personality, the stuff that I think about, during that time, I could not depend on my earthly father. So when I got saved as a teenager, I believed that God was able to do anything. What I struggled with was he willing to do it for me? I knew he could. I struggled with, would he for me? And that's the real danger that we have. But our shepherd provides for us. He says it, he will do it. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That should excise worry from our lives immediately. That's his promise. God shall supply. It's not might or wants to. He's going to do it. He says he's going to do it. He's going to do it. So not only does he provide for us, but our shepherd protects us. He is our defender. Now, this is tough. Once again, working in a Christian school, there is some bullying that goes on. We're all human. We've got our brokenness. It's really tough to not want to lash out at someone who's bothering you. And it doesn't stop in grade school. You can be in the workplace, and there's some jerk that wants to hurt you or cut you out or stymie your progression at the job site. God sees that. He's aware of it. He's going to protect us. Our shepherd guides us. He leads the direction of our life. You're not left to flounder in life and have no direction. Look to God. Don't worry about that. Look to God. He will guide us. Listen to Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man or a woman are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. That's an awesome thing. God's interested in each of our progression. You know, there's been times in my life when I'm like, where is God? It's completely dark. There's nobody around. And I'm desperate. Where is God? And so when you're going through, you're like, where's God? Where's God? Where's God? After you get through it and you say, oh, I didn't see him there, but he was obviously there. I like to look at grace as a safety net. God's grace is that net so you never bottom out. You never hit rock solid ground. But that net stuff, now you might be pretty close to it, but you're protected from bottoming out. So don't worry about it. And then he corrects us. He loves us enough to correct us. I never understood why my parents spanked me. This is back when you could. And he did. And he hates me. It was painful. And you guys remember after the spanking, you're breathing that, like, you're at peace, though, really. All the planets are in alignment. You've paid for your sin. And you're like, I'm okay, I never could understand why they would do that. And now I know, having been a parent, I love my kids so much that I don't want them to continue in bad behavior and have really bad problems. Sometimes the only thing that gets our attention is discipline or correction. The shepherd, our shepherd, will discipline his sheep that do not follow or struggle. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now, the chastening is a fancy word for correction. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, let that sink in for a moment. God's not going to allow us to do bad and continue to do bad. He loves us too much to allow us to do that. So he chastens us. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Now, one good way to tell that you are truly a born-again believer is that God chastens you. If you're not one of his, he's not going to chastise you. He's not going to chasten you because you don't belong to him. But that's a good confirmation that God loves us and he wants the very best for us. It's not fun. In fact, it can be very painful. And you can even question, why is God doing this to me? Because he loves us. He loves us too much to continue in the path that we're on. So number one, what is worry? Number two, what our shepherd does to eliminate worry. And then number three, what we need to do about worry. Number one, confess our sin of worry. We have to stop coddling our worry and saying, well, that's my personality, or that's what my parents did, or who else is going to worry about this but me? We've got to recognize what worry is. Worry is a sin. We need to ask God's forgiveness for the times that we have worried. And believe me, all of us have done that, or maybe we are doing that right now. Every time you worry, remember that we are acting like, and this is harsh, we're acting like an atheist. What is an atheist? They believe there is no God. So when we worry, we are saying, there's no God, there's just me, I have to worry about this, it's just because this is what I do. We have to recognize that worry is a sin. So confess it, first of all. And then the second thing is really tough to do, but we need to do it. Decide not to worry. Why? Because worry is a choice. Every time you are tempted, and that's where the temptation comes in, every time you're tempted, you have a choice. Worry, like there's no God, or choose to trust God. We have a choice. Sometimes it's so ingrained in us that we're like, sometimes when I'm praying, I'll realize I'm asleep. I don't know if you've ever done that. You're praying, you think that this is going really well, and you're like, I've been asleep for the last half hour. And worrying can be the same thing. We can be involved and engaged in worry for an hour, stewing over something, and then we realize, what am I doing? I'm worrying. Instead of trusting God, instead of believing that he's going to work this out, I'm worrying. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is amazing. These words, we've heard them a billion times if you've been in church for very long, but it can revolutionize your life and my life if we will just take it seriously. Starts off right off the bat, verse 6, And this is a command. This is an imperative. In other words, God's saying, do it. Here it is, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry. It's a command. He's not saying, you know, when you feel like it, don't worry. Well, if you get a chance, don't worry. He's saying, you stop worrying. But you know what? If you're going to take something out, let's say we're digging out worry, it's ingrained, you got to put something in there. You can't just leave a hole there. You got to put something else in there. He deals with that. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but here it is. This is what you're going to fill the hole with. But in everything by prayer and supplication. When you're tempted to worry, don't. He says, pray. Middle of the night, you're in the grips of anxiety about something you really can't change by your own power. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. Go to the Father who loves you. You think this is going to catch God by surprise? He's aware of all of it. And God doesn't waste any problems in our lives. They're all there to allow us to grow in our faith. And when we worry, we short-circuit our growth. So we need to pray. So he keeps on going. There's something really cool that comes when we do that. So it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's a part of it. Let your requests be made known to God. And something huge happens when we do that. When we stop worrying, we start praying, and we are thankful. Verse 7 says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Hopefully everybody's hearing aids are up right now. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. Don't we need a guard on our heart? He says, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you stop worrying, you start praying, and you're thankful, God says, I'm going to give you something that you cannot buy. Peace. And that's what we want. We need peace. And we certainly don't have this in this world, but God says, I can give it to you. But you got to do it the right way. I'll give it to you. Choose to depend on the shepherd and not worry about the things you cannot control. Since the shepherd is my Lord, he says, I don't have to want. I don't have to worry because he's got it. Ask yourself this morning, when you're worrying about something, is there anything you can do about it? Whatever you're worrying about right now, whatever you were worrying about last night, if you cannot do something about it, then you need to stop. You need to stop. Now, a concern is something you're concerned about. It's a problem, but you can do something about it. Then do it. Like me, I've got that meeting tomorrow morning. I'm not worried about it. I'm concerned about it. And I'm going to do something about it tomorrow. I'm not going to stay up tonight. Oh, I hope it goes well. Got a plan. I've prayed about it. I have peace. Concern, yes. Worry, no. Let God be in control. The root problem behind worry is that you feel like you're not in control. Guess what? You're not. You're not in control. But God is. Worry is an attempt to control the uncontrollable. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never meant for you to have, or me. Worry is a warning light. Whenever you start to worry, a light should go off. Warning, you're trying to be in control too much. So whatever that is, recognize for what it is. It's us desperately trying to control our life. Who is in control of your life? God gives you the choice who controls your life. We're not robots. Neither were Adam and Eve. God gave them a choice. They made their choice. And we suffer the consequences because of that choice. But he gives you the choice too. Remember, we can either worry or we can pray. That's the choice that we have. God knows you. He knows me. And he knows best. When God is in control, you and I can rest. When we're worrying, we're trying to accept too much control or too much responsibility. And we're fretting, and we're losing sleep, we're not eating, we're anxious, all those things. God has proven over and over again that He is qualified to be in control. Let me ask you this question. Who ran the world before you were born? I remember my 21 years in the Navy, you know, toward the end as I was getting ready to retire, I was like, oh, what are they going to do without me? And someone said to me, I'll never forget it, if you think you're indispensable, you're not. Just take a bucket of water, stick your foot in the bucket of water, let it get good and wet, pull your foot out, guess what happens to the water? It's like you were never there. That's not to say that we don't have an influence, an internal influence, hopefully. But you know what? Big Navy is doing just fine without Ken Amador. I'm getting ready to retire from South Merrimack Christian Academy after next year. Guess what's going to happen to the school? It's not going to fall apart. As cool as I think I am, and I do think I'm cool, not going to change one whit. Guess why? God's got it. It's the same thing with you. Since you've retired, if you have retired, the company you work for, guess what? They're fine. They miss you, and you miss it, but they're fine. Let's make sure that we recognize that we're not more important than we are. We are important to one person that matters, that's God, but we're not more important than we think we are. God is going to take care of the things in our lives. Here's, as I close this morning, here's an important way to deal with this. If you think about not worrying for the rest of your life, that's too much. Nobody can. And you get overwhelmed. I've got maybe a good 20 years left in this life. And I'm looking forward to heaven. Looking forward to a new body. One that works perfectly. But you know what? We've got to do this. If we're going to make it, we've got to take it just one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worry steals joy from today. Being consumed about things that may never happen tomorrow. You can't change the past. You can't control the future. So all worry does is mess up today. The future can seem overwhelming. As I anticipate and contemplate retirement, you know, my wife and I got all these plans and all that, but only God knows. You know, we can plan, and we're saying, God, here's our plans, please bless them, but you feel free to change them if you need to, okay? God knows all that stuff. It can be filled with worry. So what we need to do is we need to break it down in bite-sized pieces, and they're called days. Can't worry about next month, next year, 10 years from now. Let's worry, not worry, let's pray about today. Overcoming worry is a daily decision to focus on today. Listen, to stop worrying, you must make a daily, sometimes at first hourly, or even a moment-by-moment choice to let God, let Him be in control. So what are you worrying about right now? Probably lots of stuff. Health, relationships, work, retirement. You know, thinking about the political situation is the monies that the government has promised us, are they going to be there? There's a lot of stuff to worry about, but almost every one of them we can't control, if not all of them. But I do know who can control those things, and that's God. So isn't it time for all of us worrywarts to give God back control of our lives? Let's do that. Father, we thank you so much for this day. And Father, this message has been a conviction to me because the temptation to worry is so real. Father, right now I know that there are legitimate issues with anxiety. Some folks are overtaken by that. And maybe there's a chemical issue there. But Father, for the rank and file, worrying is something that we can just set aside and pray and ask you to be in control. And Father, whatever that thing is that's just constantly causing us to worry, Father, help us to finally admit and realize that you've got it. Your God, we're not. And help us, Lord, to rest in you. It's not easy, and you know that, because we live in a sin-broken world. And I just pray, God, that you'd help us to rest in you. And when we stop worrying and we pray and we're doing it with a thankful spirit, we want to receive the peace that you've promised. Help us, Lord, to do the things that make for peace. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you, and we ask, God, that you'd bless these dear people as they enter this next week. Lord, help them to look to you for the strength that we need. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.